annual labor group negotiation or presentations. We have CPOA, Local 1055, and Local 995. I'll remind council members to use the microphone if you have a question, but we've got prepared remarks from those three different unions. And we're going to start with CPOA. And if everybody cannot have side conversations so we can hear while we have microphones, they're still not, you know, perfect. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for having me. Don Weaver on behalf of CPOA this evening. The short version is, well, one, I don't have a presentation. You're not missing it. I have one thing to talk about, and I feel like I don't need a visual aid to talk about it. And I'll sound a bit like a broken record.
Make love to the microphone, Don.
A little closer?
Yes, thank you.
Channeling my rock star days.
Do it.
Okay.
Yep. You got it.
All right. We're here to talk about a step plan. And we're asked, CPOA is here to ask council to direct staff to implement and adopt a step plan for the Columbia Police Officers Association members, police officers and sergeants. But really, I think the city would be better off adopting such a plan for firefighters as well, and laborers, and really all city employees. But that's not what I'm here to talk to you about tonight. So we're asking for a step plan. And right now, the city is poised to not give us a step plan, or if you think we already have a step plan, they're taking it away from us. However you want to look at it, and I won't go into that long debate again here. CPOA believes that it's best for the city and for CPOA members and for the community to give officers and sergeants predictable pay increases based on successful service. And those pay increases should come on the members or the employees' anniversary date. And we believe this is the best path forward because as we understood the city's position, we believe and we agree with what we understood the city's position to be, which was we all want to attract and retain the best and the brightest to be Columbia police officers. And we've talked about it for a long time, ad nauseum at this point, but we believe that a fully staffed CPD contributes to enhanced public safety for the overall community. And we know in our hearts that all or most of you, we'll say all of you, truly do support community safety, do support and do desire to have a safe Columbia for all of our citizens and residents. And we also know that most of you have told us specifically that you do support the idea of a step plan. So let me describe the collective bargaining process thus far for this bargaining period. I'm only doing this for a little bit of backstory. Because the ordinance says that if we were dissatisfied with the progress of the negotiations, we had to request to meet with you. And as of the end of April, which was the deadline to ask to meet with you, we were dissatisfied with the progress of the negotiations. I'll just say that this year, for whatever reason, has been way different than years past. We, as we have in years past, and as the ordinance requires, submitted our proposals to the city at the end of January. We put a lot of thought and work into our proposals, but again, tonight I'm only here to talk about our proposal around step pay. We researched step pay. We realized, and we always have realized, that forward-thinking, progressive cities, in Missouri, including in Missouri, all have step plans. And most cities that this city and this council and staff used to do the salary study two short years ago, the comparable cities that were identified, most of them also have step plans. And so as of the end of April, we had only one meeting with the city less than a week earlier. That was our first and only meeting with the city. We, again, proposed a 10-step plan that did have raises from current, but we believed that plan, and we do believe that plan, accomplished what we thought was the shared goal with the city, and that is, again, attracting and retaining the best and the brightest police officer candidates from across the state to serve here in Columbia. A little bit of history on the idea of a step plan is from CPOA's perspective. We've been working with the city to build out what you see now and what we have now is a step plan or a pay scale or step plan framework. since at least 2019. In not too many years ago, we had pay compression such that a 19-year detective was making 26 cents more an hour than a 5-year police officer. There was a point in the pretty recent past where we had a 6-year officer making the same as a day one police officer. We understand that that's problematic. I know you guys agree that's problematic. But what we've been working with the city incrementally to try to fix that. And last year we established a step plan framework or a pay scale that did, to a large extent, fix that compression. It's April of 24. And now what you see today is the numbers are up, right? We're being better able to attract, hire, and retain folks to be Columbia police officers. That is not only the result of Chief Schluti and her team's great work, it is also the result of a pay step plan, that framework that is advertised to candidates. And but if we do what the city has suggested, which is nothing. So right now, the status of the negotiations at the point that we requested this meeting was that we proposed a 10-step plan. The city said no. And that was the status of the negotiations. And that's basically where we still are with regard to the negotiations. And so what that will mean is that at a minimum of 2 years between since the time the last pay adjustment was realized by CPD members. And there's a few problems with this, and I'm not sure the city is fully aware of the implications here, but literally, the step plan framework that was adopted includes a step that corresponds with the number of years of service you have in law enforcement. And so today, a lateral hire, someone who graduated the academy with someone maybe who 7 years ago who works at CPD, in my hypothetical, and went to work in Hallsville or Centralia or Randolph County, will come in today with a lateral policy making more than a CPD officer with the exact same amount of experience. And so literally right now, the only way that CPD officers can move a step is if they quit and rehire again. And if they do that, they will be making the next step up. And I see some smiles. That's not a hypothetical. You can ask the chief. There are officers who quit and then were rehired and have moved up a step. But the existing officers don't get to move up a step because of the city's position. So what that says is that if you want to advance in your career, you can leave and come back, move up a step, 2 steps actually, or if you start your career somewhere else and then, you know, delay coming to CPD, you can come in at up to two steps higher at this point. And the longer that continues, the worse that's going to get. So the city has said, staff has said that, you know, there's some financial woes. We've read about it online a bit. We've looked a little bit at the data. I'm not an accountant. I'm not in finance. But one thing I'd like you all to remember is that when we're negotiating with city staff right now, we're not talking about the current budget. We're talking about next year's budget. So whatever the crisis now can be fixed with the adoption of next year's budget. Some of our members come to us and say this is a fabricated crisis. Some suggest it might be a budgeting error, an accounting error, a computer program error, or maybe the city's overspending. To us, we don't really care. It doesn't really matter to us. What we're asking the city to do, and we're asking council to direct staff to prioritize employees and prioritize public safety. We're just simply asking you to lock this in. Don't waste and throw away the years of incremental improvements we have made. We're on the cusp of being able to fix it for the future. Don't let us fall back. Don't reintroduce compression, et cetera. You're almost there. Finish this fix. Again, fix the step plan with automatic progress on the anniversary date. And that's all I have. Any questions for me?
Yeah, Jackie. And we've got like a few minutes, and then we have to allow the other unions.
I think this will be pretty quick. I just want to have a clarification
question. Oh, use the microphone, please.
Yeah, sorry. It's okay. It's new.
Not used to it. No.
don't forget it.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, now I got to sit up straight. Okay, you had mentioned the pay increases or step advancement on an anniversary hire date. Is it not currently on the anniversary of a hire date?
That's a little bit of a two-step question. There is no current anything. So there is not a move ever at all, period, on hire date or otherwise. A year ago, we did have one move from wherever people were to a step. We placed them in a step that corresponded with it. And that was effective, I think, as of the date of the amendment that was passed to our collective bargaining agreement. I think in years past, in past conversations, my understanding of the city's position is that they cannot, or it's overly complicated to have the increase take effect on the employee's anniversary date, but instead they would do it at the budget first year of the fiscal year, first day of the fiscal year to apply for that year.
So everybody kind of has the same date where they would be eligible for a potential raise or increase.
That has been the past experience, yes.
Okay. And then is there a requirement, like, for an officer who would be hired right before the fiscal year versus one that's hired right after the beginning of the fiscal year, as far as is everybody eligible at the same time, or do they have to have a certain amount of time in?
In years past, the pay has been negotiated with the city to be effective on a fixed date. In many years, the first day of the new fiscal year, although sometimes, like last year, it was effective. I think the wording was the next pay, the full pay period following the execution of the agreement. So if you were hired before that day as a lateral, well, let me take that back. I think you were placed in the step on the effective date of that amendment.
Okay, and so you're asking for everybody to have a different date, like to be the anniversary of their hire date versus the fiscal year date?
Correct. That's part of our ask, is that we adopt a step plan that moves people forward for every year or every 2 years, however it's written, of successful service to the community, and that occur at their actual anniversary, just like when they get additional vacation or sick leave accruals on their anniversary date.
Thank you.
Yep. Last question, if anyone has, council has one. It might come up later on, too. Yeah. Well, thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I think up next we have,
Local 1055.
Sorry.
Is the microphone like a requirement?
It helps because we have a lot of...
Should I speak really, really loud?
So here's the thing. I went to a lot of concerts in my 20s, Zach.
Sorry.
And so these ears,
you should be good to go.
Can you hear me all right?
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay,
perfect.
Does this clicker work?
It does.
All right, so you're going to hear a lot of the repetitive nature of what Don just presented from us. We have a full contract this year, so we're navigating a lot of things, but we've got to what we would call a stalling point with the financial situation. So I put the ordinance up here. Obviously, I wrote pieces of it, but basically we're at a place where we're not making progress, and the city's decided to hit the panic button, which always comes back to the employees. It's always the employees that pay for the panic. It has been in past practice, and I'll talk more about that as we move on. So where did we come from? Last year, mid-year, we agreed to salary adjustments with the agreement that we would negotiate for fiscal year 26, which is what we're doing currently, and that's an 18-month time period. During that same process, you guys adopted a resolution that said our pay philosophy is going to include wages and benefits that are externally competitive, lead the market, and address pay compression. Those were three of the highlights of that pay philosophy resolution. So why did we need to do that? Well, we went through years of stagnant wages. We weren't competitive with our market comparisons, and our salaries were all compressed. We had a ton of employees that were hired at different times, everybody compressed together, and we were having a giant struggle with recruitment and retention. And obviously, wages and benefits are a huge reason for recruitment and retention issues, as you'll see as we move along. So where we're at now, it's March. The city asked us to delay financial negotiations for another month so they could gather more data. We currently have no negotiations that have to do with fiscal year 26. Current data, while somewhat applies, we're not talking about fiscal year 25. We're talking about fiscal year 26 and on. And then we finally got a quote-unquote offer on April 28th, which I'll show you in just a second. But we know what our current economic environment is. We're not immune to that. It's volatile. There's a well-unknown future with everything that's happened at the federal level. But what we do know is that inflation's still high, over 2%, and consumer prices haven't come all the way down. So our employees are still taking home less money. When they pay for the products and services that they have to live, they're still taking home less money. And if we freeze wages, that's only going to get worse. So that's why I say down there, they've declined in comparison to the cost of goods and services. So here's the offer. I just copied the email. I must restate my request that you consider waiting until mid-year fiscal year 26 to engage in good faith negotiations. Now, if you remember back, mid-year 24 was the last time we had a pay adjustment. If we wait till next year, that's 24 months to begin negotiations that will probably be implemented at the beginning of fiscal year 27 or upwards of 30 months. That's far too long for our employees to not have any wage adjustments. But here's what's been communicated to us, that we're the priority. It's often repeated. And we don't disbelieve that. I don't think that the city manager doesn't have value us. But it has to be backed up by words. Our budget increases. Because of the adjustments we've made, we're filling vacant positions. People want to come here and work. The work that we've done is working. Don't stop it now. And then now we're asking for potentially 30-month delay and wage and benefit adjustments. So what does this do to our employees? Well, those words ring hollow is what that means. Is you tell us that they're your priority. Come to work. Do a good job. We're going to take care of you for that. But 30 months later, it may not be exactly what that is. And then we start the cycle of compensation and benefit problems all over again. I would say probably by the time that we were to negotiate an adjustment, we would at least probably run through four classes of employees in the fire department, maybe more, that would all be in the same pay band, regardless of how long they've been here. They were because of the lack of adjustments in wages. So we're just compressing employees back together, like we said we didn't want to do, like we said we were going to address by our pay philosophy. We're just putting them right back in the same spot. Obviously, we're going to fall behind our market and competitors, and we're going to struggle to recruit and retain all over again. We're just starting that cycle over, and I would offer that it's probably going to get worse this time because we started to make progress, and then we fell off of the promises that we were making. So what we're asking for is put us in there first. Build your budget around your employees. So if you're budgeting around a 2% increase or a 4% increase, that goes in first. If projects are slowed because of that, they may do that, but you got to have your employees to do the projects anyway. So if you don't have employees, projects don't matter at the other end, or you can outsource them, which we've seen the product of that. Obviously, we need to meet inflation and CPI rates. If we are not meeting that, our employees are taking home less money. If our wage adjustments don't meet that, our employees take home less money. That's the way that works. This goes on a little bit further, but stop taking advantage of our employees. If they work and earn advanced training, pay them for that. It goes back to what we talked about with specialty training. We pay our paramedics more. We want to do that with our rescue teams. But we've got to get out of this habit of just taking advantage of our employees because they go advance their career. Pay them for that. Then negotiate in good faith. Obviously, you've seen that rejection in wages and compensation benefit changes that we've proposed. And the same applies for binding arbitration language that we've also proposed. So it's up to council. You guys control this discussion. Show the employees, put your actions behind words, and let's end the cycle of using wage freezes as the panic button. And let's stay ahead of this issue rather than getting behind it and paying more to get out of it later on down the road. So with that, I'll take more questions if you have them.
Questions for Zach. Okay. Yeah, Nick.
Go ahead. Well, I have one, Zach.
You've got to really get the microphone.
I got it. Hello, everybody. You're talking about putting employees first. And when we look at the budget, I think that what we see is that personnel is our primary expense.
Sure.
So I would see, I guess I would argue, or someone could argue that employees are being put first. I mean, there's no service to the city without the employees. Do you see that differently?
Yeah, I definitely do. Because if I stay here for another year, that should come with more priority And we should do that for our employees over and over and over again, increasing their wages because they're here. If you left my wages stagnant for the rest of my career, what product am I going to give you?
Yeah, I guess.
That's what I'm getting at, is that we have to show our employees that they're valuable year after year after year. It can't just stop.
Yeah.
And that's gonna come with increases to that number. You say that it takes up 60, 80% of a budget.
Right.
It may take 81%. It may take 82%. Whatever that is. But really, it's going to offset itself because we're going to hire younger employees at a lower wage. We're going to retire older employees who are paid more. That cycle is just going to kind of offset itself.
Other questions for Zach? Zach, you don't happen to know off the top of your head your vacancies now in these times versus what they were like 4 years ago? Or rate? Or
Roughly, we have 8 right now.
Okay.
And to see 8 a year throughout the course of the year with recruiting classes coming in and then people leaving, that's pretty common, has been standard through, even through COVID. We haven't seen like the vacancy rate increase wildly.
Okay. Other questions for Zach? No? Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time and the presentation. And then up next we have Local 995.
I'm not going to break something.
That's
okay. Oh. It was written down incorrectly. I know what it is. Sorry, Andrew. I'm not guessing. That would be a bad idea.
All right. I think you guys are good to go.
So my name is Andrew Hutchinson. I'm the union representative and organizing director of Laborers Local 955. Most of the presentations can be done by Chief Steward Scotty Johnson from Fleet Operations and Just Steward Macaulay Stubbs from Parks and Rec. So the goals of this presentation, we're going to review the city's bargaining so far and then request action for City Council. What you're going to find in this presentation, we heard previously from council members from other presentations that it's helpful to know what proposals we put forward and what the responses have been. So spoiler alert, most of our proposals have been rejected with no counters presented this year. So the first one, pretty standard, we've talked about this with the fire department and the police department about cost of living adjustments plus step scales. So I think it's important to note that this was our original proposal, and we are asking for a step increase along with a cost of living adjustment. Fortunately or unfortunately, my job as chief negotiator for Local 955 means I deal with public sector bargaining across the state, as far north as Kirksville, as far west as UMKC, and even with employers from nonprofits to universities to small contractors. The city is the only one of all of my negotiations this year that has offered a 0% cost of living adjustment. And a large amount of those are municipalities and state who are dealing with the same types of income concerns that the city is saying that they are dealing with. Now I'm going to pass it on. That's important.
So one of our primary proposals following those economic adjustments.
Macaulay, hold it up really close. Sorry, thank you.
Is that better?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Another one that we were hoping to adjust, not only because we consider it a vital part of the economic take-home pay that our employees receive, is the benefits packages that go along with those. That includes our retirement funds to our 401A, particularly adjusting for hazard pay in dangerous conditions when people are expected to still go out and provide the services that are a necessity for the livelihood of our city as a whole. That includes our street department during snow events, our water distribution when working in hazardous soils, and on. Another thing, because the city is often repeated, as we heard from both the firefighters and the cops, that the employees are the emphasis of their work. We hope to extend that fully to not only the employees, but the employees' family. So as times get more expensive, particularly in this town, childcare becomes exorbitantly more costly for a lot of families that are now struggling to find not only sitters, opportunities for other childcare opportunities, but then also just paying the cost of those childcares. So we're hoping to hopefully provide some sort of subsidy, some sort of benefit to those individuals that want to
become a family in this town. This is a place that, as the city likes to say, is a great place to live, work, and play. And if you cannot afford to have kids, you're not going to have them here, and the city then begins on a slow decline of death. Sick leave buyback is a concern that we've had for a long time. As before, we have a current standing policy of 50% buyback. We're hoping to increase that to 75% to incentivize people to hold on to their sick leave, use it in a more strategic manner instead of using it ad hoc or in a more lackadaisical manner. And then also to increase the benefits of loggers, which is the third-party retirement benefits that the city's public employees hold. But once again, the city rejected this proposal and cites that these are not open items and management rights, even though these all very much play a significant financial role in all the employees' lives. Another one that we'd like to bring forward is these market adjustments. I know that the city likes to pride itself on the classic comp study that they performed several years ago, and they like to tout it about as being this end-all, be-all thing that solved everything that ever happened in the city, and we all should be happy and move on with our lives. The only problem with that is, as you can see on item one, equipment mechanic, you can see on CCTV techs, you can see on item four, crew leads and gen lead ops, all those positions that exist in the city were never actually included in the classic comp study. To say that those positions were accurately studied and then moved to market adjustment is erroneous. It's impossible for them to have been moved to a market value if they were never actually studied. You can look through the classic comp study and you will never find any of the line items that address those specific positions. And so because of that, they've fallen behind and out of market value. And because of that, these positions are hard to staff, hard to maintain, hard to preserve as the city goes forward. Also, with our bus drivers, our paratransit drivers, our lead bus drivers, and our mechanics ones and twos, the city likes to think that because they adjusted these before, they are at market value, and thus the good work is done. However, we can show you the statistics that these positions are unfilled, and they continue to be below market value, and that is a reason why those positions continue to suffer. The union isn't asking for anything exorbitant. We're not asking to adjust every single position that the city has moved for. We're asking for a select few to bring those to market value, to adjust for the problems that we tried to bring to the negotiating table before, but were looked over. And because of these positions, this is how we make our market adjustments. These pay grades are exactly how compensation and financial compensation are determined. To say that these aren't part of the negotiation process for a wage opener, which covers the financial obligations, the financial compensations that the employees receive, is a falsehood. To say that these are management rights is pretty ridiculous, frankly. So to not even allow us to negotiate them, and then even if we were to allow to say that they won't move on, hurts not only the city as a whole, but these individuals in particular.
So this is an issue that was brought up. We don't need to get really deep in the weeds on this, but essentially we have employees who have to come in on the weekends to cover breaks. It used to be that those were paid close to a full shift, not a full shift. Now they're being paid just for that 1 hour. So we have employees who are being essentially asked to drive. A lot of these folks live out of town, 30, 45 minutes to come work an hour, hour and a half, and then immediately drive home. It used to be that these were paid from 3 to 4 hours, no longer happens, and we are offered no counter. The next part of this, this is something that increasing the amount of comp time we can accrue. The city said for the last two sessions that they are willing to engage in negotiations, but have yet to provide a counter proposal. We're still waiting on a counter from the city on this, but if you continue to say you're willing to talk but provide no counter, it's essentially a rejection. Scott, you want to talk about healthcare?
So as we all know, Anthem and Mizzou Healthcare are not reaching an agreement, and we are, we're trying. Our members are deeply affected by this, we wanted to talk about that with the city. Also, we are asking the city to open up the 750 PPO plan and increase the HSA contributions. The city rejects this proposal, offers no counter.
This is one of the economic proposals that the union kind of unanimously voted for, and I think does a really good job of highlighting the attitude of the union as a whole. We found through doing some digging into not only our records but also the city's records that there are currently 35 or so members of our union that work full-time for the city that make below $19 an hour, which, given the cost of living for this municipality, puts them below the minimum for federal financial aid requirements. And we thought it was pretty inconscionable that employees that dedicate themselves to the city full-time are still in a position where they can receive federal funding to get by. I don't think that anybody that works full-time in this town should have to look for financial backing or any sort of additional aid to get through their life. And so we were simply asking that the city address these shortcomings with these, once again, a small number of employees that give their time, their labor to the city, and we hope that the city would do something in return. But as you can tell from the theme of tonight, they rejected the offer and offered no counter.
So what are our allowances? We receive a jean, boot, winter clothing, eye, and tool allowance for most of our represented people. And as the cost of living goes up, those things go up too. And so we're asking for that to go to get an increase to the allowance. The city rejects this proposal and offers no counter. We're asking for binding arbitration to be the final step of the grievance process. Trying to find somebody outside the city to make a decision on what affects us, you know, like someone who doesn't have a financial interest in the city. The city offered. So this is not an open item.
Yep, so I don't want to harp on what the previous labor organizations spoke about, but you know, our ask is that the city has said that it was council's direction, that council has not instructed them to prioritize wages this year. And I don't mean to, you know, throw a panic button about it. We're already getting calls from members about quitting the city. We've already watched some members quit, especially in places that we have vacancies, because hearing that you're not going to receive a raise this year with everything else that's going on economically, scares people, and they want to look after their families and they want to leave. So this is our ask. We're not asking for the world, but we are asking for city council to instruct staff that wages are a priority so we can come to a good compromise to make sure we continue to retain and recruit more employees. To echo what Mr. Pervet said earlier, despite our disagreements, like, the city's plans are working, and we are seeing positions filled. And when we fill those positions, what that means is that we cut the cost of outsourcing that work. With our work, it has to get done. If less refuse collectors show up, we hire more people ready. If less sewer workers show up, we sub more work out. It doesn't disappear. So prioritizing our wages is prioritizing the budget.
Questions for 955. Can I ask a clarifying one really quick? You mentioned Macaulay loggers improvements. What were those that you were requesting?
The initial proposal that we asked, we were simply requesting information on what the city's, and forgive me if I use the wrong terminology, what their contributions to loggers, what their obligations to them are, and if there is any options for us to increase them as the economic climate becomes more uncertain. We understand the retirement's not a guarantee anymore. There's talk at the federal level of obviously the removal of Social Security, which concerns us all. I know it's common in the past, but as it happens more and more frequently, it sounds more and more true. So we were hoping to see that there might be further options for us to find new avenues to make sure that our members, even into retirement, can have a wonderful contributive life in the Mid-Missouri area. So we were simply asking for information at the beginning, and we didn't get anything. And I don't know if it was addressed during our presentation here. We actually never got an initial proposal at all for negotiations. We simply provided ours and we were immediately countered. They never brought anything to the table and no written, no formal format that stipulated any sort of position they had to begin with. So that was, we were simply looking for information. We understand that there's certain levels of contribution. Once again, my knowledge of loggers is limited, but we were hoping to find at least maybe some avenues of bridging that retirement gap that we're going to suffer in the future.
And then just a quick clarification. When we did the class in COP, so are you saying that those kind of, I mean, six, seven positions were not in the plan?
So I know for a fact, mechanic ones and twos, they said that they were on market.
Yes.
Which we, I think that there's good evidence to say, since if they were on market, then how many years are we out from it? Two, I would have expected that we would have filled these vacancies by then. We know for a fact equipment mechanic was
there.
Equipment mechanic and CCTV techs and jet lead ops are not, I think Matt misspoke, crew leaders were looked at.
My brain was trying to fill in, it is container maintenance tech, too, were not included. And that is more of a specialty position given the fact that the city itself has a very robust solid waste division.
Yeah, so some of these positions, we'll use equipment mechanic as one, we've won in the entire, and like that's all we have, like that's the entire thing for the job title. So while I understand that, you know, why would you go do a massive study to go evaluate a position that's only held by one person, I get it, but anyone who works in Parks and Rec knows that that equipment mechanic also holds the place together, and he was completely missed.
Other questions before we go into the next section? No, is that a question, Don, or just you're lifting your pen? Okay. All right, well, thank you. Appreciate the information. And I assume that we will get these slides that are sent to us. Okay, thank you. All right, we're now going to go into a closed session conversation. So I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri immediately go into a closed meeting here in Conference Room 1A, 1B of City Hall to discuss preparation, including any discussions or work product, on behalf of a public governmental body or its representatives for negotiations with employee groups pursuant to Section 610.0219 of the Revised Statutes of Missouri. Can I have a second? Seconded by Don. You couldn't tell, but he did. All right, Mr. Foster.
Yes.
Mr. Waterman.
Yes.
Ms. Peters.
Yes.
Ms. Buffalo, yes. Ms. Carroll.
Yes.
Ms. Sample.
Yes.
All right.